thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you for tonight. That, Father God, that you are here in this place. We know you're other places as well. There's no place really on this planet that you're not. But, Father, we thank you that you're right here. You're here with your people tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you came with that which is needed, that which is good for our journey, our progress in what you have for us. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word will go forth tonight, Father God, with clarity, and that, Father God, grant me that ability to speak clearly and concisely and accurately, that the people may get a clear understanding of your word and of that which you have for them. We thank you for it, Father. We bless you, Father. We thank you now, Father. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to do whatever you want tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here tonight to do that which is spoken of in your word. And that, Holy Spirit, you are on the move. That you are like the wind. You are on the move. You are here. You are here moving. You're not here inactive because you have found a group of people of faith. And where there is faith, there you move. There you are able to move. And so we thank you that you are moving in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you do all things well. We thank you now in Jesus' name for giving us hearing ears. And we give you the glory and praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you could be seated. So certainly glad to be here, see all of you here tonight. Of course, it's always a privilege to be bringing the Word of God here at Rhema Bible Church. And of course, today's, you know, Father's Day. And so, you know, it's a day when we recall, many of us recall the good things that our fathers, earthly fathers, have done for us. And like I've told some other people, I said, if your earthly father was less than perfect, which they were, and made mistakes, and that's bothered you all these years, then this would be a good time to forgive him of those things and allow the Spirit of God to move in your life. Because as I told somebody, said unforgiveness is the carrier that brings the sins of one generation into the next. Don't get quiet on me right now. But you understand that we don't need to carry the imperfections of a previous generation into this generation. We've got enough of our own. How many of you sitting there quietly and you won't raise your hand? You wouldn't raise your hand at all right now if I ask you how many of you know that you got enough of your own. You just sit there quietly and just, man, they got more lights. Hey, look at that, they got more lights up. And I'm kidding. Well, anyway, you know, but listen, nobody's perfect, but our Heavenly Father is. Isn't that right? And whatever you can't rejoice about here on earth, you can always rejoice in that your Heavenly Father is good to you. Isn't that right? And so I just want to encourage you with that as we go into the message tonight. I'm going to be sharing a message a little different tonight. We'll just see how the Lord helps us tonight, see how we get there and everything. But I want to share about God's great love for us. And I'm going to go to Malachi. And you said, well, where in the world is Malachi? Well, it's the last book in the Old Testament. And certainly, you know, lots of people might say, well, what in the world can we get out of Malachi? Well, you know, certainly, you know, most people don't read that book very often. And, you know, and one person, they asked him if he knew the books of the Bible. And he said, yeah. He said Genesis, and he said the last book in the Old Testament is Malachi, and he pronounced it that way. And you know, and so I heard somebody else say that they thought that was an Italian prophet, but you know, we don't know. Actually, Malachi is actually an unknown prophet. No other place in Scripture is mentioned about Malachi. And so Malachi brings a message to the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, reminding them in reminding them is that God has always loved them. And so today, as we look at this, I want to tell you this, that we have people in one ditch or the other, seemingly concerning the love of God. We have people in the ditch of ignorance in that they don't know the love of God. Then we have people in the ditch on error, assuming, well, since God loves us, I can go do whatever I want, and God will allow me to do whatever I want, and I'm going to, you know, everything will be all right, and I'm going to go to heaven, and everything's going to be all right, and don't have any worries. Well, life is a little more, let's put it this way, life is not quite that simple. How many of you found that out? Life is not quite that simple. Brother Hagin said it this way. He said, often the truth lies somewhere between two extremes. Between two ditches, you could say. And so I remember my father growing up, you know, I'm sure that he always loved me, but he didn't tell me. And I was 40 years old before he told me. I heard him say that he loved me. And I went somewhere and cried at hearing those words. My dad loves me. And, you know, not knowing that my dad loves me caused me some problems growing up, just me as a person. And so, but also here's the thing, just because he loves me doesn't mean that he let me do anything I wanted to do. He loved me, but there were rules. I remember one time I decided to sleep in. I heard the neighbor boy say that he slept in, so I decided I'm going to sleep in. Of course, we were supposed to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go milk cows. Well, you know, my brother got up and I rolled over and went to sleep. Man, this is nice. Well, the next thing I know, I'm being drugged out of bed. I get a whooping and I say, don't ever do that again. You get yourself out to the barn. And so, you know. There were rules. My dad wasn't a mean dad or anything like that, but he didn't put up with anything. Foolishness, you know, well, I shouldn't say he didn't put up with foolishness. There were six boys, and so you know there was some foolishness. There was some foolishness. But there were certain limits to it and everything. So anyway, Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse, we see Malachi bringing the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. And then in verse 2, he begins by saying this. This is what Malachi proclaims to Israel, who let me give you this setting as we get ready to read this. Israel has come back from being captive in Babylon, and they are still under Persian rule, but that king has allowed, the Persian king has allowed them to come back to their homeland. Ezra and Nehemiah had already come, and they'd rebuilt the temple and the walls of Jerusalem. And this is a number of years after that they've been there. And of course, the prophets had spoken concerning all the wonderful promises, the future of Israel, you know, and all of that. And the problem with all of that in Israel's mind was this, that those prophecies had not yet come to pass. They're still under Persian rule. They're not a sovereign nation. There's difficulties that they encounter. And so the prophecies that had been spoken by the prophets had actually not yet come to pass, many of those things. Some of them had, but many had not. And so they had drawn back and withdrawn their interest in hearing from God. And they had come to the place where they are doubting that God really loved them. And so here's the first thing that God tells them. He says in verse 2, he says, I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? And now, let me also tell you this about Malachi. It's a book of arguments. The debates where God brings a statement, the Israel brings a response, and then God responds back and tells them how it really is. And what is he doing? He is correcting the perspective of Israel towards what he's doing in their life as a nation. And they're saying, well, God doesn't love us. And so therefore, this is why some of these things have been happening to us. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Just because you're going through difficulties doesn't mean God doesn't love you. And if it seems like a promise of God that you've been standing on is a long time coming, doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Let me tell you something, that God said this to Israel. He said, I have loved you. In other words, the message is, I've been loving you all along. And he says here, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob have I loved. Then in verse 3, but Esau have I hated and laid waste to his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw them down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. And so we see here God telling them, he said, I have loved you. Actually, one scholar said it this way, that our translation does not quite convey all the forcefulness of that thought. He goes on and says, I do no violence to the declaration that fell from the lips of Malachi if I would render it thus, I have loved you, I do love you, and I will love you. And that's the message that I'm going to try to get to you tonight, is that God has loved you, he does love you, and he will love you. But now what does that mean to us? See, now there's some things that you see, if you're not careful, listen to me, we settle back and say, everything's all right because God loves us. Well, God is telling them that, and he goes on. But now if you would read on from there, God will tell them, yet I am displeased with you. It's interesting. God said, I loved you, I have loved you, I do love you, and I will love you, but I'm not happy with you. Interesting, isn't it, how God can... This may not be so comfortable a thought, but how God can love somebody and yet not be happy with them. Amen. I know. Like Brother Bill says, can't get an amen preaching like that. I'll just preach to myself then. All right, Lord, it's you and me now. So while God points out to Israel that while he loves them, he is displeased with them because they no longer obey his commands. They don't do what he said. They said, God doesn't love us anymore, and they have withdrawn their fervor in obeying God. Now, don't get quiet on me because I'm talking about Israel tonight. I'm not talking about you. You'd rather me talk about Israel, right? Come on now. But you see, here's the thing. God loves us, but what does that mean? And where do we fit in what in our lifestyle, what we're supposed to be doing? And what does that mean when we do what the right things? What does it mean when we don't do the things that God tells us? Well, let's look at it a little bit. Let's look at Israel just a little bit further. God no doubt expresses his great love for Israel, who is a type of the church. And so that's something he wants to establish at the beginning. The problem is not that God doesn't love us. I grew up somewhere, I got a picture that God was an angry God. He was sitting up in heaven, hard to please, and he's looking over the banisters of heaven, and he's looking down there, and he's scanning the masses of people, and he's looking for somebody to whack over the head. That's just how I figured he was. And I just hoping that I was lost in the crowd and he wouldn't see me, because I was sure if he noticed me, I'm going to get a head thumping. Well, you know, so you see, sometimes we get a wrong picture. So Israel has assumed here that God doesn't love them anymore, and therefore they have drawn back from God, and it's caused them to cease in obeying God's commands. It's caused them to become disrespectful to God. It's caused them to have a lack of reverence for the presence of God, and certainly they are less than eager to hear the prophet of God. Do you see how not understanding the love of God can cause a person a lot of problems? Cause them a lot of problems. So Israel begins to talk to God, and they say, well, in what way have you loved us? Can you imagine God talking to God like that? In what way have you loved us? And God goes right to the beginning. He said, Jacob I have loved. In other words, Jacob, your forefather, have I loved. In other words, from the beginning, I have loved you. I've loved you the entire time. And he goes on and says, but Esau have I hated. And let me just stop and say this. That is not a statement of a sovereign God that arbitrarily decides who he's going to love and who he's going to hate. Rather, let me just tell you this real quickly, because here's what I know. You got to somehow reconcile this statement, Esau have I hated. You got to reconcile that with John 3:16. God so loved the world. That means everybody in it. There isn't a person he doesn't love. So what did he mean by that? Because here's the thing. He didn't just look into the womb Rebecca and say, I think I like one of them. The other one, I'm not going to have anything to do with. That's really not, or not in his sovereignty. Okay, I'm a sovereign God. I can choose who I want to love. I love this one. This one I don't love. Don't have any reason for it. Just the way I feel. Do you know some people want you to believe God's that way? But you see, God is not that way. Here's the thing. God loved both Jacob and Esau. Listen to this. In this sense, that he sent Christ to die for everyone. But now here's the thing. God loved Jacob in that he was selected to be the father of the nation of Israel, but Esau was rejected for that purpose. You say, well, why was Jacob chosen and Esau rejected? A lot of it had to do with the foreknowledge of God, in that he saw, even before time, the attitude and the choices that those two men would make. Esau's choices did not lead to him fulfilling the role of being the father of Israel. Actually, we see by the choices that Esau made that he made no attempt to follow God's commands or ways. None at all. And actually, later on, Israel had conflict with the Edomites, which were the offspring of Esau, and it caused Esau had no regard for God. None. And so, how many of you know that forces God the word hated actually in the Hebrew gives the meaning that he was an enemy of God. He actually made himself an enemy. an enemy against Israel, both to the righteous plans of God as well as to the nation of Israel. And so by these choices, so we see that God goes to great lengths to emphasize that, hey, look, I have loved Jacob. I have loved the entire tribe, the entire time, no matter what, where you were at, my love was constant for you. When you disobeyed me, I still loved you. When when you worshiped all idols and false gods, I still loved you. When you did not regard me, my commands, the way you should have, I still loved you. There's not a time that I didn't love you, is what God's trying to tell them. Absolutely. What's the message for us? There is not a time that God does not love us. Even when you get it wrong, God still loves you. God is not a love-hate God in that he loves you as long as you do good, but as soon as you do something wrong, man, he hates you. You're going to get it. God constantly loves you. That is something that you're going to have to learn to establish in your heart. If you grew up in a home where love was not necessarily shown freely, then you may need to grab hold and start studying more about the love of God, the depth of his of the love that God has for you, the great efforts that God has gone to express his love to you and to make his love available to you, to bring you to this spot right here today, tonight, so that you can hear that God really does love you. It's absolutely true. Because you see, things happen and people start judging God and tend to judge themselves by the way things are going. Things are going pretty good. God must love me. Things are not going well. I wonder if God loves me. And yet God says, I love you. I've always loved you. Let's go on. And so Israel has been, shows Israel, God's showing Israel that God has been magnifying his name all along, not only within the nation of Israel, but beyond its borders, so that, why? He's taking care of the enemies of Israel. The reason they're still here is because God took care of their enemies. And he said this about the Edomites. He said it this way. He said, they will return and build the desolate places. They may build, he said, but I will throw it down. He says, they shall be called the territory of wickedness, the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. And the Lord will be magnified beyond the border of Israel. So we understand this, that God loves his people with a great love. Listen to me. There are many things. Listen to me. You and I don't have a clue what all God has done to us and for us, even beyond what we know, so that we're still here and we're still existing. We're still following God. We're here tonight because he loved us with a great love and brought us this far. So here's something I want you to see. God, listen to this. You can put this slide up. I don't know if you put this up about God. I think it's the second slide. God points out that while he loves Israel, he is also displeased with them because they no longer obeyed him. And so we have to recognize then, listen to me. Israel is in the middle of needing to hear from God and get corrected so that they can move forward and continue to be God's people. But God's going to have to wake them up. Malachi comes and he speaks to them. He is not heralded. He is not welcomed. He's not celebrated, but he brings the burden of the word of the Lord. In other words, he comes by the unction of the Spirit to speak the word to the people of Israel who are not inclined to hear, but God speaks to them and calls them and lets them know that there is a great love that they need to be aware of. Their problem is not that God doesn't love them. Their problem is that they have drawn away. He's saying this, the problem is not with me. The problem is, he said, you have drawn away. And friend, let me just say this to you. It is, drawing away can happen easily if we're not diligent. Everybody say diligent. Amen. Let me tell you something. How many of you have gone through a crisis or something? It was difficult. And let me just say it this way, as nicely as we can, with the language that we would tend to use. In other words, we didn't lose the war, but we lost a battle. How many of you lost a battle or two, and you're still here, and you're still believing God, and you're still loving God? But how many of you, when you were believing God for something and it didn't go the way you wanted it to go? Come on now, I know you're looking at me like, oh, well, why do you want to talk about that? Well, because that's what's been happening to people. And nobody wants to talk about it, so we ought to bring it up. Let's just talk about it a little bit. What happens to people when things don't go the way you believed? Here's the tendency, and that is this. The tendency is to draw back from a God that suddenly you don't understand, or suddenly there's the thoughts that come, does God really care about me? Did God not care? Where was God when all this happened? Well, let me just tell you something. God was right there. He loved you. Listen to me. God was doing everything that he was allowed to do. I'm not telling you that we're pointing fingers at ourselves and saying the fault is all ours. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's an enemy out there. If we're not sharp, we don't know, and we don't know what the enemy will come and rob us of something that we're unaware of before we even awake spiritually. You got to stay sharp spiritually. And so we see this then, that God has gone to a great love. So what does that mean to us? Well, it means this, that while God expressed a great love to Israel, who is a type of the church, certainly then God would also express his great love for us today. He has not changed. And he continually loves us just as he did Israel. I would say it this way about you tonight. I would tell you with the same spirit in which Malachi proclaimed, I have loved you, I would say it this way. He has loved you, he does love you, and he will love you. He will. He does love you. Say it with me. He does love me. And so you see, here's the thing. Christ's redemptive work enabled us in the new covenant to experience the same love that God expressed toward Israel. Most everybody in this room you're not a direct descendant of Israel, of Jacob. And so what happens is that the cross opened up the way for God's love to be available and to be expressed toward all mankind. We know this. Listen to this. Here's some scriptures for you. John chapter 13, verse 34. Jesus said it this way. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In other words, Jesus said, I loved you. Now you go love others like I did. You. And so here's the thing. Listen to me, my friend. How would it be? How do you think the love of God would flow in your life if you said, "Well, God loves me, but I hate everybody, and I don't need anybody, and you better not get in my way," or how do you think the love of God would flow in your life? Well, You know, we all know that, don't we? In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, he says, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loved us. He loved us. Listen to me, my friend. Listen to me. I have this suspicion that we have not come this far because of our great love for God so much as we've come this far because of his great love for us. In other words, God's been carrying us. God's been working on our behalf when we didn't even deserve it. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me. God does, listen to me now. There's more to receive from God. You got to get this. There's more to receive from God than just his love. And I'm not minimizing his love. Because here's the thing, people are happy. God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. And that is something you got to get settled in your heart. But listen to me, listen to me. Don't stop there. I said, don't stop there. You can have God love you, but listen to me. The question is this. It wasn't a question of whether God loved Israel. He loved them, undoubtedly. But he said, I'm displeased with you. Well, listen to me. That leads me to this thought, and that is this, that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Listen to me. God is expecting us to walk by faith. Take his word. Believe his word. Listen to me. There is more to receive than just his love. I thank God for his love. I need the revelation of his love. But that sets me up for more. Come on now. That sets me up for more. That sets me up for so I'm able to keep going even when things aren't going so well. That sets me up so I have the revelation of his love that even though things may not be going right and I haven't seen the promises yet, it doesn't mean that I'm drawing away from God. I'm not less fervent. I'm actually gearing up and I'm more fervent. I'm drawing closer to God because I'm stepping it up because I'm intent on receiving what God has for me. Israel had gone the wrong way. We can go the wrong way too if we're not careful. Don't look at me like that. Amen. God loves us. Oh, he loves us. He longs for us to come close to him, to live close to him, to walk with him, to come under the shadow of his wings, to dwell there, to live there. Let me give you five great truths about God's great love for us. Number one, and that is this. Can you put the slide up? Number one, God's love is eternal. And that is this. He made plans for us before we were ever born. We are a love creation of a love God, is what one person said. You understand what I mean? He created you in love. He planned for you in love. And so you have to understand, that before you were ever born, he loved you. Look at the next one. Next slide. God's love is impartial in that he loves us the same even while giving us different assignments and callings. Did you know there's people that assume God doesn't love me because somebody got promoted and they didn't? They say, well, God doesn't love me like he'd love them. Well, so-and-so got chosen to be on staff somewhere, or so-and-so got called to this or whatever, and I'm not. I'm still just here. I'm still just waiting. I'm still just there. Listen to me. And they wonder, well, maybe God doesn't love me like he loved them. I don't know. Why does God make these big decisions like this? Well, part of it is the lack of understanding on our part. And God chooses those who are able to walk with him and gives them assignment and tells them, now you're ready to go in that place. God's not going to send you someplace you're not ready. Listen to me. The first thing that God wants you to do, if God's got plans for you, which he does, listen to me, and that is this. Listen to me. He will give you the revelation necessary to walk in that place. And I'm going to tell you something. Getting the revelation of his word is something that takes some time. Because you know how come it takes time? Because we're only willing to hear so long before we take a break. Or we get distracted. Or things come up. Then we work our way back and say, okay, God, I'm ready to hear some more. Not only does he give us revelation, the reason this is a process is because not only does he want us to hear the revelation, but he wants us to walk in it. How many of you have ever heard something from God? Don't have to answer this at all. How many of you have ever heard a revelation from God and you heard it, but you were not ready to walk in it? I don't think so, God. I don't think so. I didn't hear that. You know, do I have to? You understand what I mean? So this revelation of the love of God is necessary to help us with the assignments. So don't sit around being jealous about somebody's assignment that they've gotten, or this person got chosen over that person or that person or whatever. Listen to me. Don't get upset about it. Just move in closer to God. Just speed up your willingness to hear from God and then walk in it. Say, Lord, if I hear it, make this commitment. If I hear it, I'm going to be a doer of it. If I hear you speak, I will walk in it. But I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Even if I don't like it, I commit myself to do it. Here's the next slide. God's love is unquestionable. But pleasing God requires us to obey his commands and walk by faith. Did you hear that, Eric? I didn't get one amen. Not one. Not even yours. I'm kidding you. You're just handy right here on the front row. Man, we're close. But you know, listen to me. How many of you want to please God? Isn't that right? We all want to. But you see, sometimes we relax and we say, well, God loves me. I guess he's happy with me. Well, here's the thing. God's not against you. In that he folds his arms and says, forget you. I'm not happy with you, therefore I'm just done with you. God is maybe displeased with somebody who's not doing what his word says. But listen to this. He will never give up on them. He won't give up on them. That's why Israel, look at Israel. Look at the track record Israel had. I mean, it was not good. I mean, in and out, in and out, in and out, you know, up and down, you know. They were kind of like the little boy that running in and out of the house and in the door, out the door, in the door, out the door. And mother finally said to you, you know, make up your mind, you're going to be in or out. You know what I'm saying? Israel's like that. And God says, I have loved you. I am loving you. I do love you, and I will love you. He said, you're in and out, and you're up and down has not changed my love for you. But on the other hand, it has limited what you're receiving from me, what you've been doing. Listen to me. I want to set myself up to receive everything God has for me. Isn't that right? I want his great love and more. Amen. You know, my earthly father, not tonight at 9 o'clock, I call him. I call him every Sunday night if I'm home. Because he loves me, I love him, we're close. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to wish him a happy Father's Day. You know what I'm saying? I already sent him a card and everything. And so, you know, so I'm just going to tell you this. Listen to me. I've got that settled that my dad loves me. I've got that settled that my heavenly father loves me. But friend, there's a lot more. I can't just go around, you know, with my thumbs in my suspenders saying, God loves me, God loves me. I got it made, I got it made. Hallelujah, God loves me. Well, thank God he does. But listen to me. Why don't we go back in the word and find out what else there is that we can have? Because I'm going to tell you something. The revelation of God's love opens up the door. It helps us to be, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Now listen to this. Number four, God's love, slide number four. God's love is unconditional, but receiving his blessings are conditional. Did you ever notice that about the blessings of God? Did you know he drew you to this point? Listen to this. This is the love of God, that he has drawn us together to this place that we may understand that he loves us no matter what. But he also wants us to look into the Word of God and see the conditions of the promises and learn how to meet the conditions so that he can give us more. Everybody say more. More. Now, number five, slide number five. God's love is undeniable in that God's love never fails in empowering us to obey him and walk in his blessing. Here's what I wanted to get to. Listen to me. If you would understand what the love of God can do for you, understanding the love of God can set you up to be willing and to walk in what God tells you. There were a lot of things that my dad and I, for years, when I didn't know that he loved me, and it seemed like all dad was doing is trying to make sure I'm doing right and upset with me when I do something wrong, you know. Listen to me. It didn't draw me close to him. It did not make me willing. I did what he said because I had to. But I was not willing on the inside. It didn't make me willing on the inside. God is not making you obey him. He wants you to be willing to obey him. Friend, that's where we're at. Stand up with me. We've got to go. I hope I'm getting something across to you tonight. Listen to this. God continually loves us, and we can certainly rejoice in that. But we must also exercise faith in God's words so that God is pleased with what we do. That is the way that's the conduct that God is looking for. Did you know God said that he told us to walk in love? I know there's people today who say, well, we're not into works. We're not into doing things. God's done what he's done and everything's done and everything. But let me tell you something. Listen to me. In the new covenant, there is the commandment of love and there is the law of faith. Both are mentioned in the New Testament. And those are things that we need to do. What does it do? Well, listen to me. Now, listen to this. If you don't want much from God, then you can tune out what I'm saying tonight. If you just want a minimum amount of things from God, then hey, do whatever you need to, whatever you think you ought to do. But listen to me. If you want all that God has for you, then there's some steps that we can take. There's some steps to take. Right now, listen to me. Here's the thing. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. In other words, here's the thing. If I'm gonna please him and receive the benefit of his love, I'm gonna have to learn to walk in according to his word, exercise faith in what he said, and believe God. That's what he's pleased with. Makes him happy when one of his kids believes what his word says. So tonight, some of us may need to get out of the ditch of ignorance and learn about God's great love. You may have to go into the scriptures and find a bunch of scriptures on the love of God and just meditate on that. And just meditate on that. God does love me. I have been up and down. I have been in and out, but God still loves me. You need to get a hold of that. That God's love does not depend upon your track record. listen to me, if God loved you before you were born, then that means he loved you before you were ever good or bad. Absolutely. But now some of us need to get out of the ditch of error in that we need to decide to believe that because God loves you, you will obey God's word and exercise faith. That's our job. He loves me. My job's to believe it. My job's to believe his word. Amen. And so sometimes we come to a word that sometimes people don't really like. It's the word repent. And so people say, well, repent, I mean, has it come to that? You know, I mean, you know. But listen to me. Repent is actually a positive word in that if we're going in the wrong direction or if we're stalled alongside the road of life, we can actually get started again and we can actually change the direction we're going by actually making some adjustments within us. That's the positive side of it. So I'd like to let's bow our heads. And let's just go before the Lord right now. I know this is not the most exciting message. Notice nobody ran. Nobody jumped up and down, and not many amens and so forth. But listen to me. I hope I'm giving you something to think about here. God does love us. That's not the problem. The problem may be that we don't understand the love of God. Or it may be in this, that I've just been relying on the love of God and I've really not been exercising faith. I've not really been a doer of the word. I've kind of drawn back. Now's the time to make some adjustments. As I pray right now, I want you, for those of you that are making some adjustment on the inside, heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to just slip one hand up to heaven and say, I'm going to make some adjustments right now in Jesus' name. Father, all over this building, there's hands that are going up. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, thank you for blessing these people. Help these people. That you said you would receive them and you welcome them and you no wise cast them out. That you're willing that all should come to repentance. That, Father God, that they may be able to receive all that you have for them, that they may be able to obey your commands, be able to walk in your ways, and to be able to move forward in the journey that you have for them. So pray for them right now, Lord God. Let their eyes be open. Let their hearts be willing. Let their minds be receptive to the truth of your word. Let the revelation of your love flow in great abundance, that we may be able to draw close to you and receive the help that we need. Now, Father, thank you for bringing us this far. Thank you that you helped us along this journey. Thank you now that you helped us in a way that we never did even realize, maybe not even been aware of. But we're here because you love us and that you've not given up on us. Tonight, we purpose in our hearts to exercise faith in a God who loves us, in a God who has always loved us, in a God who does love us, in a God who will love us. We draw close to you. We know that you're not mad at us. We know that you may not have been happy with our progress, but you're not giving up on us. You open your arms to receive us as we return in Jesus' name. Thank you now, Lord. The day is to come. Help us to draw close to you. Estus nahanti kento so prong da kaliasi i din, der barn, der modding, der længtes, Maria, er hikrosto, der nama, der stili, i jehu, ta, det mikro, der sanda, der pastor, så, der to, i, ha, 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 ne med det, der bælge nummer, san, nej, 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 det kommer så kommer der, ha, 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 det næste, det, må, pa, 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 ti, he, he, tanda, and so I have loved you with a great love. I have longed in my heart for my people to be with me, to draw close to me, to listen to me, to know that I have those things that I have promised in my word for them, that they may be able to receive them, and that I desire them to walk in all that I have provided for them. But oh, I have longed for my people to come close to me, to draw near to me. Yea, even in the times of difficulty, in the times of not understanding, in the times when it looked like, oh. Oh, even in the times when it looked like things were going the other way and not the way that they had prayed. But even, in those times, draw near. My heart longs to hold your hand, to put my arm around you, to draw you along, to show you a life that you've never known before, to open up doors that you may be able to walk in a love and in abundance of blessings that you've never seen before. Hallelujah. Ha 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 ha. Let's lift our hands up. Let's bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord where you're at. Just bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. Just thank Him. Just begin to thank Him right where you are. Just draw in your own heart and mind. Draw close to God. Say, I come under the shadow of your wings. I dwell in your presence. Oh, I come to you, Father. I come to you, Father. I don't draw back. I don't run away. Oh, I come to you that you may be able work a work in us and be able to help us to walk in what we've not been able to up to this point. Yeah, and there'd be dumb though who would say, yes, I've done this before, and it hasn't brought me where I need to be. I have not seen what the promises of God say. And the Lord would say this to you, but there is a revelation that comes even from my word and by my spirit that will come to you if you will keep drawing near to me, even when in times past it didn't work. Yes, and you didn't get what you thought you should have. Yet in this time, in this hour, the revelation of my word and my spirit shall enable you and bring you forth. For I have loved you with a great love, says the Lord. So don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back at what happened, but instead look up to Him who loves you with a great love and who has drawn you along this far, and begin to rejoice, for surely the hand of the Lord is in this place and upon your life and brought you in this place to this point in your life, so that you may be able to walk in the blessings of the Lord that you have not been able to. So don't look at the past, but look at what I'm now doing and that which you're now able to do, and rejoice. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is a good God. Amen. He is a good God. He is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Look at your neighbor and tell him he loves you. God loves you. Everybody tell somebody, He loves you. 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 Ha ha ha. Now, how many of you be bold enough to tell somebody, I'm going to obey God? I'm gonna obey God. Look at somebody else and say, I'm gonna walk by faith. I'm going to walk by his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. All right. Glory to God. Well, we got prayer people coming, and men are going to be on this side, ladies on this side. If you need prayer for something else, then listen to me. Ladies, come over here to these ladies, and men, come over to these men, and they'll pray with you and believe God with you to help you to receive what God has for you. And so we just want to tell you, listen to me, thank you for listening. Thank you for receiving. Thank you for being receptive tonight. Because sometimes, you know, you get a word like this, and I'm sitting there wondering this afternoon, how in the world is this going to go over? You know what I'm saying? I mean, who in the world preaches out of Malachi anymore? I don't know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God is good, isn't he? Let's bless the Lord in the closing. Thank you, Father, blessing these people now. And bless them as they go with your presence, with your peace. And thank you, Father, that you watch over them. Angels camped around about them to guard, protect, and keep them safe. In the mighty name of Jesus, help them to walk in your blessings and all that you have for them. Thank you, Father, that the will of God be done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget the announcements. We did have some first-time guests, so please go take those first-time guests to get their gift. The connection team will do that. Shake hands with somebody and say, God does love you. God bless you.